serbisyong para sa bayan.
Handog ng mga eskolar ng bayan, inihahandog ng National Service Training Program ng Universidad ng Pilipinas Diliman ang
Serbisyong Tatak UP.
Taas kamay ang mga pagkakayanin, sarap ng pagsubo, huwag kang susuko. Bigyan ng boses ang sigaw ng masa, ang bagong pag-asa ay mula sa iyo. Panibagong pag-asa'y mula sa'yo.
Hello mga classmates, nakikinig kayo sa Serbisyong Tatak UP. Hatid sa inyo ng UPNSD Pidiliman Office sa pakikipagtulungan sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka, ako po si classmate Gian Librojo.
At ako naman po si classmate JJ Malate ng DZUP 1602. Ang Serbisyong Tatak UP ang programang tumatalakay sa National Service Training Program or NSTP ng UP Diliman. Isa itong Gandingan Award-winning radio program na kung saan ang mga episodes ay nagagamit bilang resource materials sa mga classroom-based discussions ng NSTP sa Diliman. Magandang umaga, Gian.
Magandang umaga sa iyo, JJ. And I think this is our first time, no? Co-hosting Serbisyong Tatak UP together. Isn't that right?
Right. Oo, dito natin makikita kung may chemistry po kami ni Gian. sa pag-host.
Yes, I'm very much excited to see if we have that chemistry. But I do believe we do, classmate JJ, no? And kumusta pala ang iyong long weekend, classmate JJ?
Usapang long weekend. We spent our long weekend sa Tagaytay with my family. Ayan, masaya yung long weekend ko. Nakapag-relax tayo, Gian. How about ikaw?
Wow, that's so good, ah. Kami naman, pumunta kami sa Binondo noong February 9, the eve of the Lunar New Year, and napakaraming tao dahil nga siguro marami din sa ating mga Pilipino ang mahilig talaga sa Chinese food and anything Chinese related. Kaya marami talaga, hindi mahulugang karayom nung kami pumunta doon during the New Year's Eve of the Lunar New Year. But it was a fantastic experience as well. Ayan, oh, mga classmates, napakaganda ng ating weekend. And I hope ay naging productive and restful and enjoyable ang inyong weekend like what we had ni classmate JJ. But for this episode, mga classmates, ay pagtutuunan natin ng pansin at pag-uusapan ng isang very serious topic, no? Pinamagatan natin itong lagom ng paghilom, Narratives of Women Victim, Survivors of Tokhang. Ngayong araw ay makakasama natin si classmate Mary Ann Manahan. Siya po ay isang Filipina feminist activist researcher na nagtapos ng sociology dito po sa UP Diliman at ng kanyang master's degree in globalization and development mula sa Institute of Development Policy and Management at the University of Antwerp in Belgium. She's currently a doctoral assistant of the Conflict Research Group of the Department of Conflict and Development Studies sa Ghent University na isa sa mga leading research institutions sa Belgium. Si classmate Mary Ann ay isa ring co-coordinator of the Global Working Group Beyond Development simula noong 2020.
Bukod pa rito, si classmate Mary Ann ay dating senior program officer with Asian-based NGO which focus on Global South at siya rin ay coordinator ng IFI Advisory Board of the US-based Grassroots Grant-Making Organizations, Global Green Grants Fund. Idagdag ko din, no, sa loob ng 17 years, si classmate Mary Ann ay naging parte ng iba't ibang social movement advocacy tulad ng redistribution, environmental, gender and social justice, and alternative development. Would like to welcome our guest sa araw na ito, Gian. Welcome sa Serbisyong Tatak UP, classmate Mary Ann.
Salamat, JJ, classmates Gian and JJ sa generous nyong introduction at magandang umaga sa mga tagapakinig at estudyante ng NSTUP.
Alright, again, welcome. Welcome po sa Serbisyong Tatak UP, classmate Mary Ann. We're so happy that you could that you've generously accommodated our request to interview you, and we know that there in Belgium it's in the wee hours of the night pa nga eh. Very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. So thank you so much for waking up early this morning, classmate Mary Ann. Tungo na tayo sa mga questions natin, no. Classmate Mary Ann, nabanggit natin kanina sa introduction na meron kang 17 years of experience in various social movement advocacies. Can you please share with us yung naging karanasan mo bilang feminist research activist at kung paano ito nakatulong sa iyo ngayon bilang doctoral assistant sa Conflict Research Group sa Ghent University there in Belgium?
Thanks, Gian, sa tanong. I've always been interested in doing research for as long as I can remember, no? I think bata pa ako, talagang interesado na ako sa research. Pero I could think of three key moments kung saan yung formation ko as a feminist activist researcher was crystallized. Una, yung aktivismo ko tsaka nurturing my love for research sa college. Madidiscover niyo yung edad ko. But I was, I graduated sociology ng 2001. Pero 2002, pero nung time ni ERAP, dyan ako na-radicalize and na-mobilize ng student organization. Particularly, naging active ako sa Anak Bayan around the campaigns to oust the former president ERAP Estrada. At doon ako na-immerse sa iba't ibang mga komunidades, urban poor communities, community sa mga magsasaka, at makita yung tunay na kalagayan at sitwasyon sa ating lipunan. So malaking naging tulong yung stake ko sa university, yung pagiging scholar ng bayan. Kaya nung nag-imbita si Mariel at si Dale, hindi ako makahindi kasi bahagi ito ng pagbabalik ko ng serbisyo. Yung ikalawang moment or milestone kung saan na-form yung aking pagiging feminist activist researcher, yung nabanggit nyo nga kanina ng introduction, matagal ako nagtrabaho sa Focus on the Global South, isa itong activist NGO, advocacy NGO na kung saan hinandle ko yung Reclaiming the Commons program na tinatawag namin. So ito yung programa kung saan tumutok ako sa usapin sa lupa, sa redistribution, agrarian reform, sa usapin ng tubig, socio-ecological justice issues, at pati sa gender justice. So yung combination ng activism, advocacy, research and action talagang na-form during those 15 to 17 years na nasa organization ako. At dyan talagang na crystallize or na strengthen yung commitment ko for calling for different forms of justice, equality, and redistribution. And yung final moment, malaki yung engagement ko sa women-led organizations and feminist movements sa Pilipinas and globally. Member ako ng World March of Women. Isa itong international grassroots movement na led by women, which is working on the intersection of patriarchy and capitalism. So marami siyang programa. Isa na nga dito yung violence against women, yung reclaiming the commons, work, etc. At dito naman napalalim in yung commitment ko and political stance on dismantling different forms, all forms of violence, discrimination, and oppression against women. So ito yung three key moments ng buhay ko kung paano ako nahulma bilang isang feminist activist researcher. Kaya lang nung around 2018 nagkaroon ako ng burnout. Dahil lang hirap din ng sitwasyon na yun, no? Alam niyo naman, si Duterte is in power. So nakapaloob ako sa organization ng Focus and naisip ko na parang saan ba papunta tong contribution ko dahil ang hirap gumalaw dahil bukod sa may shrinking civic space, talagang halos ng galaw mo minomonitor ng gobyerno. So take a step back ako, tapos nag-isip ako dahil mahilig ako mag-aral. Nag-apply ako ng maraming beses para maging para sa mga doctoral programs, at noong 2021 I landed a position bilang isang doctoral assistant sa Ghent University, particularly sa Department of Conflict and Development Studies at sa Conflict Research Group. At dito naman na-combine yung newfound love ko sa pagtuturo. Kasi nung nasa Focus ako, nagpo-political education kami, pero hindi sa academic setup. So mas grassroots organizing, mas grassroots capacity building. So nagtuturo ako ngayon ng seminar sa Politics of Conflict and Politics of Development. At yun, tinutuloy ko rin yung aking passion for research. In fact, actually, pabalik ako next week sa Pilipinas. So nagpe-prepare ako ngayon para sa matagal na fieldwork sa Mindanao.
Oh, thanks for sharing that with us, classmate Mary Ann. Maganda siguro marami kang nabanggit na mga key moments, no, para humantong dito sa kasalukuyang mong kinalalagyan. But I guess it's good to know that UP has been a strong foundation for you in terms of forming your ideals and your core philosophies as a person, which has guided you in your further studies also and in your continuing advocacy for women and for those who are victims of injustice.
Yes, Audrey, yan. Tutunay yan. Kasi ang UP, isang espasyo siya para ma-nurture yung idealism mo, yung advocacy mo. At tinutuloy ko yan dahil bilang scholar ng bayan, hindi naman nawawala yan. So ito yung paraan ko para ibalik yung mga natutunan ko, yung mga encounters na nangyari, na pagdaanan ko. At hopefully ay lalo siyang mapalalim pa sa panibagong yugto ng aking career bilang isang researcher at isang teacher.
Sa mga ibinahagi, no, classmate Gian, ni classmate Marianne, dito mo talaga makikita na she's very exposed to and actively involved in different discussions, and sabi niya nga mahal niya talaga ang research, 'di ba? Not only about feminism but also different other topics. And doon na din pumasok yung pagiging doctoral assistant, no, na they collaborate, you guys collaborate with diverse professionals in the field on research endeavors. And ang intriguing, no, to balance the role ni classmate Marianne. Siguro tatawid po kami sa next naming question ni classmate Gian. Ang iyong mga research interest ay land and forest politics, socio-ecological dynamics, and social movement activism. Pwede niyo po bang maibahagi sa amin at sa ating mga manonood kung paano ka naging interesado sa topic na violence against women in the context of upland tukhang?
Oo, salamat, classmate JJ. Yung interest ko sa violence against women, na pukaw yan nung panahon, ay, bago pa yung panahon ni Duterte, no? Yung binanggit ko kanina, yung engagement ko sa World March of Women. Every year, maraming mga aktibidades at maraming mga iba't ibang klase ng research at advocacy yung ginagawa ng iba't ibang organisasyon na bahagi ng World March of Women. At syempre, nung nalagay sa pwesto ng 2016 si Duterte, masyado akong naapektuhan dun sa sheer violence, saka spectacle ng violence and misogyny na witness natin every day, no? Na yung contempt against women, particularly yung mga kababaihan na who are challenging him. So naisip, lalo nitong napagtibay yung interest ko to work around violence against women, but particularly contribution through research. Kaya nung mag-imbita yung UP Third World Studies Center, Ghent University, para maging bahagi ako ng isang collaborative research project called Violence, Human Rights, and Democracy in the Philippines, na hindi na ako nagpatumpik-tumpik, sumama talaga ako dun sa research project na ito. So itong research project na ito, ang pinaka-objective niya ay makita yung continuity and change of violence, hindi lang sa panahon ni Duterte, pero tingnan din yung mga nakaraang administrasyon. At maraming mga case studies kaming ginawa. So meron sa Quezon City, si Mong Palatino yung gumawa niyan. Ako naman, saka kasama ko si Jean Enriquez, saka Janica Rosales, mga batikanang at veteranang feminista at bahagi ng Coalition Against Trafficking of in Women in Asia Pacific. Meron din mga kaming mga naging kasama na tumingin naman sa Pampanga, sa Norte, sa Visayas at Mindanao. So geographically, Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao yung tiningnan namin. At wala kasing tumingin doon sa intersection ng tukhang and violence against women. At particularly doon sa na nagsisentro ng boses ng mga kababaihang naging biktima at nag-survive sa tukhang. So ito yung siguro maiksing kwento kung bakit namin ginawa itong research project na itong research na kabahagi ng mas malaki pang collaborative research project na following the tukhang. So kung makita ng mga classmates natin na nakikinig, kung tingnan niyo yung dahas.ph, ito yung repository at virtual articulation nung research project na binabanggit ko.
It's very clear to hear and your explanation of what picked your interest classmate Mary Ann in violence against women within the framework of Oplantokhang, no. Maidagdag ko lang din, no, ito talaga, no, it still remains as a compelling issue since it started during the previous government administration 2016, hindi lang at 2016, di ba? Kasi previous years, pero na po talagang mga injustices. And sa loob ng taon na iyon, napakaraming injustices, particularly affecting the urban poor with lives tragically lost. And considering po yung extensive loss of life na iyon, parang mapapatanong ka na lang talaga, malilabel pa rin ba siyang campaign kung may mga unlawful killings, di ba? Kung it's a crime against humanity. And if we go back, classmate Gia, no, sa advocacy of classmate Mary Ann as a feminist activist, ang ganda nung advokasya in the context of this issue kasi it coincides with the current and rampant issue na kinakaharap ng mga kababaihan. And napakahalaga ng mga gantong klaseng discussion, no? And I believe that by initiating discussions like this one we're having now, we can hopefully extend its reach to communities na hindi po aware sa mga gantong context and usapin. And diba, sabi nga natin, you have to be involved dahil for sure may magagawa tayo at mako-contribute po tayo.
Mm-mm. And one of my key takeaways from classmate Mary Ann's answer kanina is yung culture of misogyny nga and sexism, no, and the violence against women are run unabated, and it was there was this culture of impunity. It's as if the president can just say whatever he wanted, even if, you know, his words cannot just actually hurt emotionally, but has physical manifestation. And we've seen this in a lot of instances. This is not related to Oplantokhang, pero I'm reminded of one of the women critics of the president, Sister Patricia Fox, who was a foreigner, who was, expelled from the Philippines because she was a critic of the president. And, grabe lang din talaga nung panahong iyon. And of course, as what you've mentioned, itong violence against women and the injustices has been here for a long time already, even before the previous administration, and it exists until now. So maganda nga pinag-uusapan natin ito at pinag-aaralan para mas makahanap din tayo ng paraan para maiwasan ito in the future. No. Classmate Mary Ann, I have one question before we go into a break. Pero we'd like for you to expound on this, no. Kanina na banggit mo sa amin kung why you were interested in the topic topic of violence against women in the context of Oplantokhang, but in general, why did you become interested in women's rights?
Very good question. Because normally you don't get to be asked that question. I think para sa akin napaka natural na or organic yung maging interesado sa women's rights dahil babae ako. Pero bukod sa pagiging babae, dahil dun sa matagal kong engagement sa mga communities, nakita ko yung kung paano often yung women's rights take a back seat, no, before other rights, as if na parang second class of rights pa rin to campaign itong women's rights. So kaya doon sa trabaho lagi kong pino-foreground yung karapatan ng mga kababaihan, pero yung usapin ng mga kababaihan, no. For the longest time nahirapan akong I think in my 20s nahirapan akong i-claim yung pagiging feminista kasi ang daming value laden and expectations and responsibility pag tinawag mo yung sarili mo na feminista. Pero actually, yung mga kasama ko yung nagsabi na, actually, feminista ka, i-claim mo na yan. So dahil yung pagiging isang feminista, hindi lang sa sa salita, pero sa gawa mo rin siya ginagawa. So sa pang-araw-araw ko, halimbawa, pinaglalaban yung karapat ng mga kababaihan. At ngayon, halimbawa, sa classroom, ito yung isang pinaka nagagawa ko bilang isang teacher. So dahil nagka-craft ka ng curriculum mo, ng course mo, actually ni curriculum, syllabus mo, so lagi kong pino-foreground yung feministang pananaw sa aking mga klase. Kaya siguro in the shortest sense, ito yung sagot kung bakit ako naging interesado sa women's right. Dahil kahit meron tayong batas para sa mga i-recognize yung karapatan ng mga babae, sa katunayan at sa realidad, marami pa ring social norms and cultural norms ang actually that are oppressing women. So itong pag-advocacy mo para sa karapatan ng mga kababaihan, it's a long-term commitment actually in terms of my personal advocacy and commitment ko rin sa movement na kung saan ako ay engaged.
Mm-mm. Thanks for that, classmate Mary Ann. Sa ating pagbabalik ay magtutuloy pa rin ang ating diskusyon tungkol sa ating topic. We'll dive deeper sa Lagom ng Paghilom, Narratives of Women Victim, Survivors of Tokhang. Huwag kalimutang ilike ang aming Facebook page, facebook.com/servisyongtatakup, and you can also join us gamit ang hashtag servisyongtatakup.
Maaari rin po kayong magbigay ng inyong mga opinyon sa comment section ng ating Facebook Live. Ang DZUP 1602 ay kasapi ng KBP, Kapisanan ng Mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Magbabalik po ang serbisyong Tata QP dito sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Serbisyong Tata QP.
And we're back. Nagbabalik ang serbisyong Tata QP. Ako po muli si classmate Gian Broho.
At ako naman po si classmate JJ Malate. Kasama pa rin po natin si classmate Mary Ann Manahan. Mag-hi ka ulit sa ating mga classmates.
Hello, mga classmates. Magandang umaga.
Live from Belgium, mga kasali. So thank you again, classmate Mary Ann, for joining us. Kaninang unang segment, mga kasali, we did context building. Pinag-usapan natin kung paano napunta si classmate Mary Ann sa kanyang kinalalagyang posisyon sa kasalukuyan, kung paano siya naging interesado sa pag-aaral, pagsusulong ng advokasya niya sa women empowerment at sa paglaban sa social injustices, particular nga sa kababaihan. Sa segment na ito, mga kasali at mga classmate, ay tututok naman tayo doon sa kanyang isinagawang pagsasaliksik. So kanina nga nabanggit natin na nagkaroon ng pagsasaliksik. At sa iyong pagsasaliksik, classmate Mary Ann, habang nakikinig ka sa mga kwento ng mga women survivor ng Tokhang, maaari mo bang ibahagi kung paano na-gather at na-analyze yung mga kwentong iyon at ano-ano yung mga key findings sa likod ng mga narratives na iyong narinig?
Salamat, Gian. Kaya nang nabanggit ko kanina, itong research na ginawa namin between 2018 to 2019, kasama ko rito yung mga kapeminista ko na si Jean Enriquez at Janica Rosales ng Coalition Against Trafficking in Women in Asia Pacific, na isang global feminist organization that are tackling challenging sexual exploitation in all its forms, no? Ang Katwa, nag-rely ako sa mahabang experience, halos mahigit dalawang dekada na experience ng CATWAP sa pagtatrabaho sa violence against women. At siguro bago ko sagutin yung tanong mo, mag-take lang ako ng konting context kung bakit namin ginawa yung research at yung naging metodolohiya namin doon sa research na ito, no? Una, yung naisip namin kung bakit why do we want to foreground the realities and aspirations and views of women victim survivors that are either have been silenced or marginalized in official discourses and debates about Tokhang. Kasi gusto namin i-challenge yung trope na yung women and families left behind are just collateral damage. So kung balikan natin yung naging debate nung 2016 to 20 time ni Duterte until he stepped down, laging sinasabi na yung mga pamilya, yung mga kababaihang biktima at survivors, mga collateral damage lang siya. So through the research, gusto naming maipakita, collateral damages lang ba sila? Or does this form of violence through Tokhang already constitute different forms of violence against women and children? So yun yung una. Yung pangalawa, yung nabanggit ko kanina, we really want to foreground the unheard voices and experiences of women, particularly sa killing field ng Bulacan. If you remember, nung August 2017, it was media who dubbed Bulacan as a killing field kasi sa isang araw, there were about more than 30 people who were killed and about 100 people who got arbitrarily arrested. So gusto namin i-follow yung storya ng mga kababaihan na kung saan yung kapamilya nila, mga asawa, mga kapatid, kamag-anak ay naging bahagi nitong one time big time pero after as early as 2016 pa. So we wanted to embark on a research process. Pero ito yung difficulty kasi dahil you're dealing with trauma, with grief and with sheer violence, hindi madali na gumawa ng research na mag-interview ka lang basta sa mga kababayan. Ano po yung naging story niyo? Kasi usually KII or key informant interviews yung ginagamit natin as a primary qualitative method no sa research. Hindi siya ganun kadali kung ganito ka-sensitibo tsaka ka-violente yung topic na tututukan mo. So we have to design and embark on a research process that can be empowering on the women and of course sa mga naging women victim survivors ng Tokhang and ma-address yung different forms of injustice. Kaya naisip namin mahalaga yung research reflection and action no bilang isang iterative process. Yung naging primary research question namin, parang how are the women o paano pinapasan at iniigpawan ng mga kababaihang biktima at survivors ng Tokhang yung karahasan na naranasan nila mula sa Estado at sa mga ahente nito. Tapos yung termino kanina na binanggit mo, Gia, at binabanggit ko na women victim survivors, very deliberate yung choice namin dito sa term na ito. Kasi simply put, ito yung termino na ginagamit ng mga kababaihan para i-describe nila yung sarili nila. Kami ay biktima, kami ay survivor, so pinagsama namin sila. So itong victimhood and survivorship, facet siya ng violence against women, which makes it possible to tackle violence as a collective issue and also a struggle to call for justice. At para hindi rin ma-erase yung victimization that occurred, and therefore, you can call for accountability and justice towards the state and other government institutions. And on the other hand, yung survivorship naman yan, gusto namin maintindihan yung complexity ng overcoming constraints or overcoming barriers to exiting victimhood. No? Ano yan? Yung psychological, economic, social, political barriers. Kasi hindi siya simpleng umitpaw or maghilom, no? Hindi siya ganun kadaling proseso. At syempre, panghuli, gusto namin ma-highlight yung solidarity education saka organizing bilang crucial processes for both coping, surviving, resisting, and to start the process of empowerment. So para sa amin yung empowerment, hindi lang siya goal. It's a process that requires, you know, key tools such as political education, organizing, and continuing of advocacy around human rights. Kaya yung pinaka-method kung saan in-analyze namin yung data, or at least we gather the data, tinawag namin itong feminist action research methodology. No? Isa itong methodology na nagsistress ng commitment to research that facilitates empowerment, solidarity, and education. And at the same time, fino-foreground nito yung usapin ng mga kababaihan in a broader social justice agenda. At yung naging takbo ng research namin, unang-una, kailangan namin kausapin muna, nakipag-usap kami sa dalawang potential na research participants. At doon, napagtanto namin na kailangan munang magkaroon ng psychological first aid kasi karamihan sa mga research participants na manggagaling sa Bulacan, hindi pa nila nakakwento yung nangyari sa kanilang karahasan, no? Whether na-experience nila o kaya tinapon sa bakanteng lote na salvage yung mga mahal nila sa buhay. So, hindi ka pwedeng mag-enter agad into, ay, pwede po bang ikwento nyo yung naging karanasan nyo without the danger of re-traumatization and at the same time, yung danger of extractive research na malaki yung potential kung ganun. At hindi rin kami pwedeng mag-enter into a classical tradition na mag-human rights or women's rights training tayo agad. So, unang-una, kailangan namin i-deal yung paano tayo mag-deal sa hinagpis, sa grief, sa trauma. Kaya, naging mahalaga yung PFA, yung psychological first aid, bilang isang first tool, method to do that. And then, later on, nagkaroon kami ng workshop around centering women's rights and human rights. And then, in essence, yung research interviews itself were integrated into these two key processes. So yan yung in short yung binaging pamamaraan namin para mag-gather yung data. And at any point in time, actually very important sa amin na from the very beginning makuha yung free prior informed consent ng mga kababaihan. So doon sa proseso ng PFA, doon sa proseso ng workshop, nagkaroon kami ng inexplain namin yung consent form, ano yung laman niyan sa lingwahe na maintindihan nila. So pinaliwanag namin isa-isa at sinabi namin kung any time of the research ayaw niyo nang maging bahagi, pwede po kayong mag-drop o kaya kung ayaw niyong gamitin yung videos, no, yung mukha, etc., pwede niyong gawin. Later on, I think in the last segment ng interview natin, ikukwento pa naman yung mga challenges na kinaharap namin sa ganitong klase ng research. Pero very quickly, pupunta ako dun sa ano yung mga key findings. Kung nabasa ninyo yung short abstract ng research namin sa dahas.ph, may apat na naratibo o kwento na lumabas doon sa kung paano nila naintindihan or at least na make sense yung tokhang. Una, malinaw para sa mga kababaihang naging bahagi ng research namin, women victim survivors and families left behind, na yung tokhang is a war on poor women. So rather than collateral damage, ang binabanggit nila, tokhang is really targeting poor, you know, households and poor women in particularly. So may maraming mga kwento dyan, no? Yung isang kwento ng research participant namin na nabigla na lang nawala yung asawa niya, tapos hindi bumalik for many days, tapos nalaman na lang niya sa news na may tinapon na body dump sa hindi pa nga doon sa town niya, doon sa sumunod na municipality along with her brother. So yung mga kababaihan na bukod doon sa first experience of you know of violence against their loved ones, naka-experience sila ng second wave of multiple violence and double traumatization. So paano to nagmanifest? Una, yung mga sila ngayon yung naging sole breadwinners at most often than not yung mga kamag-anak nila na naging biktima ng tokhang, kinailangan nilang i-take in yung mga anak, yung mga kapamilya, at sila din yung kailangan mag-earn additionally para maghanap ng pantunto sa pang-araw-araw nila. So ito ay on top of dealing with trauma, grief, despair, helplessness, saka hopelessness, no? At syempre, nandyan din yung guarantee yung physical security ng pamilya nila at ng sarili nila. Kasi may target on their backs. So, pag naging biktima yung mahal mo sa buhay ng tokhang, alam na yan sa komunidad na pwedeng sumunod kahit sino sa kapamilya mo. So, nandyan yung physical security, physical safety, paranoia. At bukod pa dyan, ang daming microaggressions nila na kailangang harapin sa pang-araw-araw. So, yung mga neighbors nila, yung mga kapitbahay nila, mga kaibigan nila, kahit kaibigan nila before, sinasabi na tinatawag yung mga anak nila na children ng drug, mga anak ng mga drug addict, o kaya huwag na kayong maghanap ng hustisya, manahimik na lang kayo para tahimik na lang yung komunidad natin. So yan yung isang main na naratibo yan, na yung war on drugs ay, or tokhang is a war on poor women. Pangalawa, at malinaw yan dahil kung nung tiningnan namin yung lugar kung saan galing yung mga kababaihang naging research participants, lahat sila halos galing sa relocation sites ng Bulacan. So wala halos galing dun sa more affluent part of Bulacan. So halos karamihan doon sa relocation site o kaya sa low income and urban poor communities. So malinaw na yung naging target ng tokhang ay yung urban underclass ng ating lipunan. Pangalawa, at ito ay nandun sa, I think, dun sa article na ginawa namin last year for except nung mas mahaba naming paper ay yung palit katawan or rape for freedom, no? Sexual violence yung isa pang forma ng abuse na nag-characterize ng dangerous anti-drug policy ng estado, no? Yung palit katawan, termino to na ginagamit ng police at ng mga research participants din, na kung saan pinupwersa yung mga kababaihan na makipagtalik sa mga police at sa mga may kapangyarihan para in exchange para sa freedom ng loved ones nila. So palit katawan, pag tinranslate mo sa English, exchange body siya. Pero actually, rape siya eh. Kasi it involves an equal power relations and coercion between the women who are often, in an imbalanced relation towards the state or the police. Lalo nitong nire-reinforce yung gendered notion ng women sa lipunan natin na tool siya for objectification and satisfaction ng mga kalalakihan, pero kalalakihan also in power. So mahalaga na I think yung termino ay mas ma-clarify natin kasi rape talaga siya, no? At tatlo yung kwento na marami kaming kwento na puha dyan doon sa pananaliksik namin na kung saan pinuwersa ng police yung na makipagtalik sa kanila kapalit ng kalayaan ng mga asawa nila o mga mahal nila sa buhay. Yung pangatlong naratibo or findings na nakita namin, at ito yung complication kung paano natin iko-complexify natin yung kung paano nangyari yung violence, yung termino na palit ulo, no? Exchange heads, na open secret policy siya ng state ng police na kung saan ini-involve niya yung lessening yung offense charges against a drug suspect, especially para dun sa mga magka-come forward to give information on his or her drug supplier or yung mastermind ng isang drug syndicate or fellow drug users. Pero dito, dahil yung mga kababaihan na naging bahagi ng research namin, nasa konteksto pa rin sila lang ng tokhang, yung oppressed naging oppressor. So meron kaming isang research participants, for instance, na tinuro yung kuya nung isa pa namin nung community organizer ng Bulacan. So parang iniintindi namin bakit naging ganyan, bakit yung mga oppressed ay naging oppressor din. At pinopoint namin siya doon sa kung paano yung schema, yung polisiya ng tokhang, yung violence ng tokhang, it creates a climate of control and manipulation and another layer of domination, no? So particular to sa mga biktima at survivor na who are living on a knife, on the edge of a knife. So kapit sila sa patalim. Dahil kapit sila sa patalim, kailangan nila mag-survive physically, hindi lang economically and in different aspects. Willing sila na ituro yung mga kasama nila, no? Kaya doon sa at some point of our research, we have to disinvite the yung naging involved sa Palitulo kasi yung committee organizer na yung sabi sa amin na wag na natin siyang isama. So, yun yung isa pang complication I think nung war on drugs and intersection niya sa violence at women. At ito lahat dumudulo doon sa pang-apat na naratibo na yung tokhang as a social policy and framework of the state is a form of violence against women as exemplified through palit katawan, through palit ulo, body dumping, extrajudicial killings, and arbitrary arrest. At yung mga kababaihan nga, sila yung nagbe-bear ng brunt of the socio-economic consequences, both in the immediate and the long term, brought by violence under Tokhang. At dun sa aftermath ng Tokhang, hindi naman siya nangyari in a vacuum, no? Maraming, lalo pa niya na-exacerbate yung existing inequalities at yung social conditions, vulnerabilities na kung saan nandun na yung mga kababaihan at yung pamilya nila in the first place.
Wow, that's so... sad to hear, classmate Marianne. I mean, we know that this happened, but to actually hear the narratives based on your study, it was parang it was the final nail in the coffin for me in terms of like you know, how real it was for a lot of people, especially women. And I didn't want to cut you even if the explanation seemed to be a bit long, because we wanted to hear it straight from you, from the researchers, how women told you their stories about this, no? So hindi lang siya economic problem. Sabi mo nga meron din siyang social aspect. Pwede ring na ostracize sila ng kanilang komunidad because no one wanted to be affiliated with them, because if you're affiliated with them, then maybe your security will be compromised as well. And din ako na meron din palang palit ulo at palit katawan, no? Yung isa ay about sexual harassment, at yung isa naman ay parang it perpetuated that cycle of violence, because even the oppressed have become the oppressors themselves. Naging mini oppressors sila, serving the interest of that one big major oppressor. So that's really sad to hear, no?
Ako rin, Gian, personally, I can already imagine yung bigat, no, para sa mga victim survivors in, you know, recounting and sharing their experiences and stories regarding Tokhang. Kanina po ay nabanggit ni classmate Mary Ann yung psychological first aid, no? Sa iyong study po ay napagbigyan pansin ang importansya ng psychological first aid. Base po sa iyong experience, paano ito nakapagbigay ng safe space o tulong para sa mga naging biktima ng post-drug war operations para maibahagi nila ang kanilang mga saloobin at gusto pong iparating?
Oo. Maraming salamat sa tanong, JJ and Gian. Yung psychological first aid, isa itong feministang pamamaraan or makapaministang pamamaraan para masimulan yung kolektibong paghihilom, no? Mapalabas yung mga inisyal na mga kwento na may kinalaman sa Tokhang, at para rin ma-assess yung pangangailangan ng mga kababaihan sa immediate. So, gaya ng nabanggit ko kanina, karamihan dun sa naging research participants namin, hindi pa nila nakakwento ever yung nangyari sa kanila, dahil yun nga, takot sila na bukod sa ma-ostracize ay ma-put in danger pa yung mga kasama, mga kapamilya nila at mga mahal nila sa buhay. Pero yung PFA, in-emphasize nito yung healing as intervention, yung title nga ng ating show ngayon, no? Yung lagom ng paghihilom, at syempre proseso naman ang paghihilom. Yung naging takbo ng PFA namin, tinumbay namin yung gumamit kami ng kombinasyon ng mga pagpapalagayang loob, pagpapakilanlan, breathing tsaka relaxation exercises, art, at yung bahaginan. At yung in the end, nagkaroon kami ng feminist closing ritual kung saan inask namin yung mga kababaihan na magsulat ng letter dun sa mga hindi makapagsulat, kasi meron kaming mga naging research participant who can't write. Kami yung nagsulat. Sinabi namin sa kanila na kung meron kayong mensahe para sa mga napaslang yung mahal sa buhay, ano ito, at isulat ninyo. At after nilang isulat sa isang sirkulo, pinasa nila yung mga sulat at kung saan ay nilagay nila sa gitna na may apoy, at ito ay parang simbolo ng sending off at collective grieving. So yung naging I think dulot nung PFA nung nito una nagkaroon ng yung binabanggit ko nga kanina, collective grieving, dahil narinig nila yung kwento ng mga kasama nila at naisip nila na hindi pala sila nag-iisa. So parang in the end they found allies, no, na hindi pala kami nag-iisa, marami pala kami, at yan ay nakatulong doon sa pagbubuo ng parang komunidad, komunidad ng mga naging biktima at survivor ng TOCA. At pangalawa, yung binanggit nila sa amin afterwards, actually right nung nag-debrief na kami, nag-assess kami anong nang nararamdaman niyo ngayon, nasa na kayo ngayon. Sabi nila nakakatawa na raw sila kasi dati hindi. Meron kaming isang research participant na for the longest time tulala. Hindi siya makapagsalita. Sabi niya ngayon, ma'am, medyo lumuwag na yung dibdib ko. So immediate yung impact ng PFA dahil kolektibo namin siyang ginawa. So hindi siya yung parang typical mo na psychotherapy na kung saan meron kang expert na psychiatrist at regular yung interaction niya sa kliyente niya, sa pasyente niya. Ito ay kolektibo na pag-tackle sa hinagpis at sa trauma, at very deliberate kami dito kasi gusto rin naming mag-foster ng sense of community and belongingness among the women's survivor victims na kung saan nakaranas din halos ng pare-parehong klase ng karahasan. So nakita rin namin yung pattern kung paano yung karahasan, yung metodo ng pagpatay at yung sheer violence na ginawa ng police at ibang ahente ng estado laban dun sa mga tinatawag nilang drug personalities.
It's comforting to hear that yung mga naging, kumbaga parang naging result ng psychological first aid classmate Mary ano, sa mga naging biktima sa survivors, sa mga victims and survivors ng post drug war operations nga, for them to share yung mga saloobin at gustong iparating. And sabi nga natin kanina, alam natin yung hirap at danas ng mga victim survivors, and to step up to talk and share about their stories, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And syempre yung trust po doon sa tao or sa community na pagbabahagian din ng mga story. And of course, the primary concern talaga is ensuring that they feel safe in that space, diba? Knowing
correct.
That their stories and the information they share will be kept confidential, and that hindi sila nag-iisa, diba? They found allies, sabi nga kanina ni classmate Mary. And diba, it's still important to gently encourage them to, you know, consider the idea of speaking out about the injustices they've experienced. And it's not wrong to share it kasi it's the bravest act po, no, that could potentially help thousands of other victims who are afraid to stand up and speak out. And through sharing their stories, they could inspire other women to address these injustices openly. Ayun, right Gian.
I agree, classmate JJ, no. At nakakalungkot nga yung narinig natin ng mga naratibo, and like what classmate JJ said, it was at least comforting to know that at least because of this activity, they found out that they're not alone in this tragedy. But it also saddens us because that means this isn't an isolated case. It correct. Happened in a lot of places, and it affected many women, many families, many children. So it's really sad to say the least. Pero maganda na nagkaroon ng ganitong klaseng research at naging ethical and sensitibo kayo sa pamamaraan ninyo ng pananaliksik, no? At dahil nga rin dito ay nalaman din natin na ito nga yung mga kanilang pinagdaraanan. And for a lot of people, kasi for a lot of these women, I mean, I could not imagine, I could never know what they went through, no? But I could only assume that when they were grieving, they had to step up, you know, they had to function because they had people to feed, more people to feed, no? Nawala ning kanilang asawa or, you know, their breadwinner brother, for example, or father, and they had to step up. So for them, that emotional debriefing wasn't something that's practical at that time. So because they had to keep functioning, so this is a good way for them to actually, you know, debrief themselves on what had happened, and at least, you know, they have found comfort in victim survivors, their fellow victim survivors. Classmate Mary Ann, we won't have any break anymore so that we could continue with this discussion. Very briefly, Classmate Mary Ann, can you, based on this research that you had, are there any recommendations that you could share with us in terms of policies and for civil societies, what can we do as well?
Oh, siguro bago ko pumunta doon sa recommendation, mahalaga din siguro ma-emphasize ko na bukod dito sa storya ng trahedya, ng violence, marami ring storya ng resilience na napalabas yung mga kababaihan. So yung isa na nga, yung dahil dyan sa PFA, nagkaroon ng collective healing tsaka catharsis, pero at the same time, naging paraan to para magbuo sila halimbawa ng isang self-help group, yung tinatawag nilang EUW or yung I forgot the term. Basically itong self-help, it will come to me later, pero itong self-help group na ito became an organization that facilitated community action, particularly dun sa areas kung saan nandun yung mga victim survivors at mga families left behind. So meron silang alert system sa text kapag merong mga maali-aligid na mga tao na hindi nila kilala, o kaya merong kwento or balita na may binugbog itong kasamahan nila dun sa organisasyon. So meron silang quick reaction team para i-rescue itong binugbog at mag-file ng complaint sa barangay, no? Basically ilapat nila yung natutunan nila dun sa research process na ginawa namin. So mahalaga ito kasi itong organization na ito empowered urban women ng Bulacan, dahil yung resilience hindi lang siya usapin ng coping strategies at yung makaraos at makabangon. Bahagi nito ay yung pag-demand, collectively demand for justice, no? At ito yung isa sa mga siguro recommendation na sagot ko dun sa tanong mo, Gia, na lumabas dun sa pag-aaral namin yung sheer lack of government support for victim survivors of Tokang. In fact, na-corroborate yan ng Commission on Human Rights na nag-conduct din sila ng separate study on mapping yung available social services for women and families left behind. And they found out na wala talaga. So they've been pushing for an interagency task force within the government bureaucracy, but to no avail. So mahalaga, I think, na masuportahan yung inisiyatiba halimbawa ng CHR around this. Pangalawa, it's very saddening, pero nung sinik namin yung posisyon ng Philippine Commission on Women, despite repeated requests, they declined for an interview. Pero we also found out na wala silang work on the war on drugs, dahil yung mandate daw nila ay limited to a secretariat role of monitoring programs of various agencies. So paano mo naman i-monitor yung programa ng gobyerno kung primary policy niya ay itong war on drugs, no? May clear gap talaga, considering na yung Philippine Commission on Women ay ito yung primary policy making and oversight agency mo concerning the protection and upholding of women's rights, women's empowerment, and gender equality. So malaki yung gap dyan, no, pagdating dyan. At siguro sa level ng NSTP students, maraming areas na pwedeng suportahan, particular dyan halimbawa yung pagbabahagi ng kwento ng mga kababaihang biktima at survivors at mga kababaihan in general, kasi alam ko yung Gen Z crafty pagdating sa halimbawa social media, paggamit ng available na technology sa para makwento at ipalabas yung story ng mga kababaihan. So malaki, I think, yung pwedeng maging role at maging contribution ng mga estudyante ng UP, in particular, for example, dito sa advocacy around challenging and ending all forms of violence against women. And syempre doon sa mga mahihilig sa research, ini-encourage ko sila na to be engaged, no, particularly sa mga women's-led organization and feminist organizations na mahaba yung track and performance around advocacy on violence against women.
Yeah, hindi tayo pwedeng tumigil, no, from taking action on these issues po. We need to raise awareness through discourse, right, and collectively demand for justice. Siguro, for the last question na lang din po, Classmate Marian, although napahapiwan mo na siya kanina, base po sa findings ng inyong study, paano naman makatutulong ang mga kabataan at NSTP students to effectively advocate the initiative or policy changes na nagkakaisa upang tugunan po ang pinakaugat or pinagmumula ng problema sa violence against women?
Oh, yung short answer ko, kasi 1 minute lang tayo before the next show. I think mahalaga na makinig, mag-aral, makialam, makisangkot at mag-organisa yung mga kabataan, no? Particularly in partnership sa women-led and feminist organizations, gaya na nabanggit ko. So, marami organization, actually, mag-map out lang kayo ng kasama na dyan ng CATWAP, ang mga members ng World March of Women, for example. Pero marami pang iba na kung saan ay organizations that are promoting justice and the protections of the rights of women. Pero mahalaga, I think, na mag-take ng cue, particularly sa mga communities na kung saan yung karapatan nila actually yung niyuyurakan na tinatapakan, no? At mahalaga din na yung natutunan ko sa UP halimbawa nung formation days ko bilang isang aktivista is mag-immerse ka talaga sa community para maintindihan mo yung embodied learning. Walang substitute for that. No? Pwede mong basahin lahat ng mga reports, lahat ng mga studies, pero walang substitute dun sa maranasan mo yung actually nararanasan. Siguro hindi sa nararanasan nila, pero makita mo, maamoy, mahawakan, at ma-experience firsthand yung nararanasan ng mga kababaihan sa komunidad. So, yan siguro yung maiksi kong advice or at least recommendation sa pwede maging papel ng kabataan. At yun nga, mahuhusay na storyteller sa mga kabataan, kaya nilang i-package halimbawa ang isang komplikadong issue into something that an ordinary citizen can understand. So yan, i-claim nila yung i-claim nyo actually, I would like to say na kabataan pa rin ako pero hindi na. But i-claim nyo yung talents and skills nyo and see where you want to put your talents and skills and energies into something that's meaningful and hopefully can contribute to the process of empowerment of women.
And on that note, Classmate Mary Ann, maraming salamat sa iyong oras at sa iyong pagpapaliwanag. I wish we had more time. This is a very important topic. I'm sure our listeners and our viewers are able to learn a lot from this episode from you. So marami pong salamat, Mary Ann Manahan.
Maraming salamat ulit, Gian and JJ, at more power to TATAC Servicio UP and DZUP.
Thank you so much. At dyan na po nagtatapos ang ating programa. Maraming salamat, Classmate Mary Ann. Huwag kalimutang i-like ang aming Facebook page, facebook.com/servisyongtatakup. Mga classmates, tutok po kayo sa susunod na episode ng STUP. Muli, ako po si Classmate Gian Librojo at
ako pa rin po si Classmate JJ Malate. Ang DZUP 1602 ay kasapi ng KBP, Kapisanan ng mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Magsama-sama po ulit tayo sa susunod para sa isang panibagong episode ng Servisyong Tatak UP. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Servisyong para sa bayan.
Handog ng mga eskolar ng bayan. Inihahandog ng National Service Training Program ng Universidad ng Pilipinas Diliman ang
Servisyong Tatak UP.
Taas kamay ng mga bago. Bayani, sarap ng pagsubo, huwag kang susuko. Bigyan ng boses ang sigaw ng masa. Ang pag-asa ay mula sa'yo, mula sa'yo, mula sa'yo. Panibagong pag-asa ay mula sa'yo.